Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. It is Sunday night, and I'm bringing you our weekly show, Scouting Sunday, analyzing everything that happened around the NFL on Sunday. This week, focusing on Week 10. Couple of announcements to make. You guys have heard me talk about PigskinNut.com, which is a all-inclusive football website where we give specific news on every single NFL team, where we have a group of writers that actually will cover every single NFL team, cover every college conference, as well as the NFL draft and NFL in terms of giving you scouting reports, mock drafts, fantasy football. This website is going to be organized, well-structured, and powered by an army of volunteers who I personally select to take part in this venture. We have received hundreds of submissions. We have at this point about 200 volunteer writers. So anything, if you want to volunteer your services, definitely send a sample article my way, stevethescout81@gmail.com. If it looks good, we'll definitely reach back out to you and talk about an opportunity to volunteer write. So I ask a couple things. If you are going to send me an article, two to four paragraphs in length, you can write about anything. Make sure it is well edited, and also that your articles have context. If you simply send us an article talking about simply regurgitating stats, look, you can go to any website and do that. Give people a unique perspective on things. That's going to be the kind of content that we're looking for this website. Definitely want to make it top notch. So, some things that I have noticed around the league, just some notes I took, you know, while watching the games on Sunday. First of all, let's just kind of start out with focusing on one game that I watched from beginning to end, which is the Chiefs and the Cardinals. So I watch typically three games on Sunday from beginning to end. Every single other NFL game, I'm watching about a 15-20 minute version of that. So I see most of it. I might miss a detail here and there because I'm not seeing every play, but there are three games where I watch everything from beginning to end. So beginning to end this week, I watched the Cardinals versus the Chiefs, Rams taking on the Seahawks, and then also the Cowboys taking on the Eagles. So looking at the Cardinals and Chiefs game, that's an interesting one to talk about because, again, the devil's in the details, and a lot of times you can simply look at the stats. Like if you look at Josh Rosen's stats today, you probably say, you know, he didn't play that well. But, you know, when you go back and analyze it and really scout what he did, there were definitely a lot of things to like. Things that I noticed in this game, first, looking at Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, he's a lot more than a big arm. The things that I saw him do today that I really like was what he did. I mean, yeah, he's got the great arm, but pre-play, he was really good today. He was picking up the blitzes, consistently identifying the mic, sliding protection, and did a really good job of just navigating inside the pocket with good feet work. He's decisive with accuracy and arguably the strongest arm in the NFL. And that really, makes all the difference in the world for the Chiefs. You have Tyreek Hill, who's a guy who knows how to use his speed, also making a big difference there. I think, looking at an aspect that we saw in this game, which is player celebration. So players around the league are competing against each other, and what I believe is almost a competition for who can do the more outlandish touchdown celebrations. Last week, we saw Michael Thomas pull a Joe Horn, where he actually pulled out a cell phone from under the goalpost. This week, we saw Tyreek Hill use the actual video camera that was used to film the game and actually went into the stands and started moving around the camera. So guys are doing more outlandish touchdown celebrations. But speaking of Tyreek Hill, what makes him so great is just he knows how to use his speed, and he's a weapon. He's a weapon in a lot of different ways. I've seen the Chiefs continually use him out of the backfield. They did that again today, but really, if you ask me above anything else, the star of this game was Patrick Mahomes. He just did a lot of the small stuff right that I'm talking about here and really, really was the bright spot for them. If you're a Chiefs fan, it's also exciting to see that that Dee Ford's coming along strong and Justin Houston was back in action today. Both of them were factors in the pass rush against the Cardinals. The two really bright spots for the Cardinals was the play of Josh Rosen. I know statistically it didn't look like he had a good game, but when you go down, when you go back, break down the tape, look at how bad that offensive line was, and just go ahead and examine his play. There's a lot of things he did well today. He was smart pre-play. He got the ball in there fast, showed off his arm strength, was really able to read the defense overall very well. Just the biggest issue was him holding on to the ball too long and just the Cardinals having injuries along the offensive line that's making it really hard for him to be productive. And I said that's really going to be one of the things that Josh Rosen needs, is he needs a good offensive line, a little bit more so than some other quarterbacks. He's not a mobile guy. And he just does not always seem to sense pressure as well as I'd like. So that's going to be some things he has to work on. But take away the struggles of the offensive line. Look at his play today. There is a lot to like about the young Cardinals quarterback. Taking a look at the Bears and the Lions. Let's first start off with a guy that if you guys have been listening to me for a while, you know before the season, I'm very high on what I think this guy can be as an NFL quarterback, and that is Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky. I based my opinion, my evaluation strictly on his 2017 tape. Look, anyone can tell you a quarterback is going to be good because they're already putting up stats and winning games, but it requires a different look at things to understand what a player can become, which is something I feel a lot of people casually miss watching the game. I think people might be missing that now with Josh Rosen. They're looking at his stats and seeing a guy that maybe didn't play well. Last year, Mitch Trubisky, I saw a lot of stuff that I like. I saw it a lot. I saw a guy that was as capable as any other quarterback I've seen at making really all the throws and all the different angles. I know that's a very bold statement, but you go back and look at his tape last year. I saw him make every single kind of throw from almost every conceivable angle and different launch points. That told me that this guy has the chance to be something special. And teaming up with his coach Charles Nagy, what you've seen is that this offense continues to gel more and more as the year has gone along. The game today against Detroit, it was a little bit easier for him. Detroit was not generating much of a pass rush. But Mitch Trubisky really looked good in virtually every aspect of the game. And he was accurate, and he also cut down on the turnovers that he was giving you in weeks past. I believe the Chicago Bears are a team that can go to the NFC Championship game this year. I really do. What has caused them to have a 5-3 record has really been more than anything else, I believe, the injury of Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack has not been a presence in the pass rush for a number of weeks. Now that his ankle is healed, you look at him today. He was an absolute menace and really changes everything in terms of this team's ability to win football games. He is that disruptive as an edge rusher, which that's part of the reason that I think the edge rushing position as a whole is the second most important position group in the NFL. You need the quarterback, but this game is a passing game, and if you want to stop the quarterback, the best way to do that is with an edge rusher. But really, in today's NFL, if you want to win and affect the game, you need two of them on opposite ends. So I had the pleasure today of watching a game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams. The reason why I say that was a pleasure is because, number one, the Rams as an offensive unit play as good as any offensive unit in the NFL. Now, you can make the argument that Kansas City and New Orleans, their offenses might be a little bit more high-powered, but I think in terms of offensive units and teams that play well as a unit, there's no one that does what the Los Angeles Rams do. And the Seattle Seahawks, given what they have on paper, Pete Carroll is able to take this team very, very far because they really don't have a whole lot of talent. but they have a lot of things working well for them today. First starting out with the Los Angeles Rams. One of the weak points for the Los Angeles Rams was not having an edge rusher. So they had, you know, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald. Yes, those guys are going to help you create a lot of pressure from the interior part, especially Aaron Donald. But what they really needed was an outside linebacker edge rusher. They got that in Dante Fowler Jr. They traded him for a third and fifth round pick. You look at Dante Fowler's play today. It definitely made a difference. He really hurt the team early, where he had a couple of penalties, and when you evaluate it, he technically gave up two touchdowns. That's how much he hurt the team early on. But throughout the day, he was a constant pressure. He was closing in on Russell Wilson, and he certainly made up for it at the end of the game when he had a strip sack that he also recovered that sealed the game for Los Angeles. So I think having Dante Fowler on the outside, if you're going to ask me the one thing that the Rams were missing to really make them a true, favorite perhaps to win the Super Bowl, I believe it really was an edge rusher, and they have that now with Dante Fowler, a guy who I thought was going to be very good. I'm surprised it took him this long to get going. Yeah, he had the big time injury, but I really believe he can be a premier pass rusher under Wade Phillips. So that is a huge pickup for the Rams. Todd Gurley, what he did well is he showed why he's the best running back in the league. And why he's the best running back in the league is because of this. It's because of how hard and how fast he explodes out of the backfield, combined with the vision he's using on the first and second level. And then when he gets to the top, he can take off from there. This attribute has really elevated him to be the best running back in the game. Next Hall of Fame head coach combo, because right now you think of Brady and Belichick, Peyton and Breeze, but I think Goff and Sean McVay can certainly be they're certainly on that road right now when you look at it. The Rams offense, it's consistently keeping teams off balance this year. Whether it's a screen pass or a reverse to Robert Woods, they're consistently doing things to keep them off balance. You're seeing that really no one on that offense is afraid to do the dirty work, which is why I say one reason why I say the Rams are the best offensive unit in terms of a team that plays good, teams that plays good as a whole. Today, what the Seahawks did is they played largely in a 46 defense for a number of snaps during the game. They were in a 46 defense, something I don't think I've seen all year, and they did that to slow down Todd Gurley and eventually say, if you're gonna win, you're gonna win with Jared Goff. But it doesn't work that way with the Rams, because Jared Goff is right now one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What I find that he does exceptionally well, maybe as well as any quarterback, any young quarterback in the game, is finding soft spots in zone coverage and getting his receivers in position. He is incredibly good at that and deadly accurate. You look at the Rams offense the entire year, they've been operating out of a three wide receiver set. They run a lot of different plays from the same personnel, keeping you off guard. There's just a lot of things to like from the Rams. Seahawks, coaching was outstanding. Russell Wilson, incredibly good game today. Rashad Penny, I said before the NFL draft and before the season that I thought he was going to be an exceptional talent for them, meaning that they were going to finally have a guy that could be an every down back for them. He hasn't played the whole year, but when you look at Rashad Penny today, when he was actually given more playing time, he was exceptional. Had a couple of huge runs and really was a big reason why Seattle's offense had success today. It was aided by good run blocking from the Seahawks offensive line, but Aaron Donald heated up as the game went along, and they just made it a little bit too tough for them. But Seahawks have no Legion of Boom, no premier edge rushers, but they do have Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. Those guys consistently help the Seattle Seahawks stay competitive. And this is a game that they came pretty close to winning today. And considering the talent they had on the field, they took it pretty far. Good job by the Seahawks despite the loss. Taking a look at the Browns and Falcons today. Browns, there's some things to be excited about if you're a Browns fan. Number one, they have some nice pieces. Nick Chubb along with Rashad Penny. Outstanding vision. Those are two guys that I really liked throughout the draft process. And I was a big fan of both Georgia running backs. I, you know, Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb, a little bit of different styles, but similar in some ways. But I believe that both of those guys have great vision between the tackles. They have good burst, and they're both every down running backs. Nick Chubb showed you today why it was okay for them to trade Carlos Hyde. Nick Chubb, he did get some good run blocking, but he had a big run today. I think it was about 95 yards long, and yeah, he got some good run blocking, but it really was attributed to his vision. He's really the guy that gets the credit. He is the guy that made the Browns offense hum today. He was by far their best player on the field on either side of the football today. What the Browns really need going forward, and what's been hurting them, is not having a franchise left tackle. They got the win against Atlanta today. They did, and that was nice. But the Browns, they need a franchise left tackle, and they need a second pass rusher in the years to come. That is what's because they need, again, in the NFL, if you want to win by pressuring the quarterback, you got to have that second edge rusher. I really believe it's critical. You have to have that second guy there. Myles Garrett, certainly one of the best in the game, but they need someone else. Greg Robinson has consistently struggled at left tackle. That's going to be a problem, and they're going to have to look at getting someone else to play left tackle soon if they really want Baker Mayfield to be as productive as he can during his career. Browns have some nice pieces. Baker Mayfield looked exceptional, but they're going to have to protect him and get another pass rusher. But I do think Baker is going to be the best quarterback they've had since Bernie Kosar. Atlanta, the Falcons. It's what hurt them today is the same thing that's been hurting them throughout the year. They need to start getting a pass rush if they're going to be competitive with these other powerhouse teams in the NFC. The Rams, the Saints, both of those teams can get after the quarterback. Vic Beasley, you know, I thought of the NFL Combine a few years ago. Physically speaking, he was the most impressive, maybe the most impressive linebacker I saw there. You look at his bench press, his 40 times, some of the other athletic drills. It was ridiculous. And I really think at this point, he's shown that he has a hard time getting to the quarterback. And I think that his athleticism, they have to find better ways to take advantage of it. And by the way, if people are wondering, you know, why has his production fallen off so much? A lot of the sacks that he got that big year, they weren't very hard sacks to produce. What I would like to see Vic Beasley do is maybe become a strong side linebacker, a guy they can drop back in coverage, because Atlanta could really use that right now. And with Vic Beasley's athleticism and him not getting after the passer, that might be a good thing. But the Falcons, like a lot of other teams I'm going to talk about today, they need an edge rusher to be competitive. That is such a constant theme, and it's why I'm consistently saying the edge rush, the outside linebacker, edge rusher, defensive end, it's the second most important position in the NFL outside of the quarterback. And again, like I said, you got to have two of them. Good win today. The Browns beat the Falcons. The Skins today, very big surprise for the Washington Redskins. They beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The reason why is because the Redskins, despite me saying that their season was probably going to tank because of their offensive line, they really held up well today with this makeshift offensive line. They used good double teams, played good as a unit. They opened up holes for Adrian Peterson, which I really thought they were going to have a hard time doing, because this is the most, when you want to talk about an offensive line that's been decimated, I don't know if anyone has it worse than the Washington Redskins. The Buccaneers, what's plagued them today has been the same thing that's plagued them all year, is they have two quarterbacks that are very hot and cold. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been that way a lot of his career. He's going to give you times where he looks brilliant, and when he's not doing that, he's usually going to look pretty subpar. Today he was very erratic, but if you start Jameis Winston, he's really been giving them a lot of those same issues. The Bucs need to get more offensive line help, no question about it. But you know what's been surprising to me is how ineffective the Bucs have been at being a pass rush unit. You know, because when you look at their team. Because they're talking about the Buccaneers being maybe the worst defensive team in the NFL this year. But look at what they have up front. Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, the former defensive end of the New York Giants, he is having a hell of a year. I'm really, as a huge Giants and JPP fan, he's almost at 10 sacks for the year. This, you know, it is possible that he may have his career record for most sacks in a season. And for me, I like it because I was a big JPP fan. But on top of that, they have Gerald McCoy, who's still a dominant player. They drafted Vita Vea, who I thought was going to be a sure thing when you look at his ability to collapse the pocket. And they got Vinnie Curry from the Eagles. So at some point, they got to put it all together and have a formidable defensive line that can rush the passer. The Colts beat Jacksonville today in what was really a critical AFC South game. It's critical because these are 2-3-5 teams that when you look at the Jaguars on paper and you look at the way the Colts have been playing lately, these are both teams that you feel like could potentially turn it around again with the way the Colts have been playing and the talent that the Jaguars have and the fact that they got Leonard Fournette back in the lineup, which is really the identity of their team. The identity of their team has been running the ball with him and slowing it down with their defense. Their defense has really been a big disappointment this year. You know, it's just amazing. They have a lot of talented players there, but, you know, looking at the game today, the only one that I really saw generating a lot of pressure was actually Calais Campbell. But they are, you know, what I think is going to be plaguing the Jaguars going forward is their offensive line. They could not get Leonard Fournette going today. He's rusty coming back from an injury, but I think it was mostly attributed to just running lanes really not being there for him. So if they can't get him going, it literally just kills everything they're trying to do. Again, just surprised they have such a lack of a pass rush, especially with just good players, outside of Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue, I believe, who's an emerging pass rusher, Miles Jack, a good up-and-coming middle linebacker with a lot of talent. So surprised to see that. I think, you know, unless Jacksonville can get their run game going, it's going to be a tough sled for them. Tough sled for them going forward. And the Indianapolis Colts, looking at them, I mean, they did everything right today. Specifically, you look at Andrew Luck taking away the weapons that each quarterback has to throw to an offense, the running backs they have. He's been one of the very best quarterbacks in the NFL this year. If he had the same type of personnel that New Orleans and Kansas City have, he could very easily at this point be considered in the running for league MVP. It's just the record that's really holding him back. But he did get some help from his playmakers today. T.Y. Hilton came up big. Eric Ebron came up especially big. But I still think that the Colts are going to have to get some more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They couldn't get Marlon Mack going today like they usually could. And they still are desperately in need of a number one wide receiver on the outside, a bigger bodied guy that where T.Y. Hilton can really go and be their number two wide receiver. There's just the main things to like from the Colts is, again, outside of Andrew Luck, that offensive line is playing a hell of a lot better. I don't know if any offensive line in the NFL has turned around their performance so much as the Indianapolis Colts have. That has been one of the key reasons why Andrew Luck has not been able to stay healthy the last few years. And now with guys like Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly at center, left tackle Anthony Costanzo keeping him upright, those are good signs for the Colts fans and a reason why I think this franchise in general is about to have a big turnaround. Bills and Jets, talk about that one really quick. Bills won this game, and they won this game with defense. What I thought was a huge help for the Bills was having Shaq Lawson back in the mix. Jerry Hughes, great pass rusher, has a lot of speed off the edge that's difficult to deal with, a variety of different pass rush moves, good with his hands. But having Shaq Lawson back in there to really add a 1-2 punch at the pass rusher position, that was just too much for Josh McCown to overcome. At best, McCown is a mediocre game manager at best, and that's probably going to be giving him too much praise. But I still think that he right now is the best fit for them to be best fit at the quarterback position. I said from the very beginning, and you've heard me say it in preseason, the Jets should have started Teddy Bridgewater because I believe that when you look at Bridgewater, McCown, and Darnold, the one that gives you the best chance of winning right now, and I said it before and I'll say it again, really is Teddy Bridgewater. Unfortunately, they did trade him to the Saints, but they did get a second-round pick. Josh McCown, the Bills were just overpowering today. Jerry Hughes, Shaq Lawson coming off the edge. And really just the issue with the Jets overall is just the lack of talent. The receivers don't get separation. The offensive line is very inconsistent, and they just don't have a guy they can continually depend on yet to be a reliable starting cornerback for them. On the defensive side of the ball, they have players. They have some star players. Leonard Williams is solid. Jamal Adams is an exceptional safety and one of the best in the game. But like a lot of other teams, they need pressure off the edge, which they're not getting. Jets need a lot of help, which is why I thought that that no matter who their coach was, they were going to have a hard time winning football games this year. Got off to a nice start, but really been struggling ever since. Green Bay Packers, they got back to winning football today, but I still see some issues there. The Green Bay Packers, yep, they won, but the issues are still the same. As I feel Aaron Rodgers is not really, he doesn't really have very good chemistry with the wide receivers right now. Devontae Adams got some touchdowns today, but they just seem to be not having the kind of chemistry that you'd want to see. They played a Dolphins team who's not really one of the better teams in the NFL. What helped the Packers win today was the play of their offensive line. Their offensive line came through in run protection, pass protection, going against Robert Quinn and Cameron Wake, two good pass rushers. They were able to keep Aaron Rodgers upright in the pocket and create a lot of running lanes for Aaron Jones, who was the star of the game and really, really had a huge day. The fact that they were able to get Aaron Jones going and that offensive line came up huge, that was what won the game for Green Bay today. I really believe that Green Bay is another team that they're suffering from a lack of talent. Aaron Rodgers, he's had some 1B wide receivers. You look at Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson. These guys have been very good players, but they've never really given him that super dominant type of wide receiver. And I would love to see what Aaron Rodgers can do with a weapon like that. Jimmy Graham, you know, he gives him a great threat in the red zone, but still he hasn't quite given me the production that I would have wanted to see. Aaron Jones has showed a lot of nice stuff. If this offensive line can continue to block and they can get a run game going, it's going to change a lot of things for them this year. But you know, you gotta still be concerned, regardless of how many points they scored, that Aaron Rodgers is still not totally have in sync with all of his receivers. Dolphins issue is they simply don't have enough talent to maintain drives, and that's their problem. They got in position to score some few times today, but they just simply could not maintain drives. They stalled out with field goals, and Brock Osweiler, he's not the guy that's going to come from behind against this team, and he's really not the answer because I don't think that he has the accuracy or the ability to really read defenses as well as a starting quarterback needs to be. Miami, they have to start looking at getting another quarterback. I do believe Ryan Tannehill, he's capable of becoming a good quarterback, but the problem is he's been injured a lot, hasn't had a lot of time to develop, and at this point, you know, he's never really given you that dominant year that you've gotten from guys like Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, who have given you multiple dominant years, and we're in that same draft class. So I think it's time that they look elsewhere. Moving on to battle in California, we saw the Chargers play Oakland. The Chargers, it was really all about Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon is a big, powerful running back. And outside of Phillip Rivers, he's really been the key to this offense this entire year. Today he was their best player on offense, created a lot of missed tackles, especially the first man bringing him down. That was pretty, you know, that was an area where Oakland was certainly struggling to bring him down today. He was effective out of the backfield and also as a receiver. Oakland really just looked flat everywhere. Derek Carr didn't take a lot of shots downfield, but to be honest, the receivers weren't really getting open downfield. His offensive line wasn't protecting him. Derwin James and Uchenna Nwosa came up huge today in the run game, also as blitzers as well. Those were their two first-round picks, and I think those two players, as I predicted they would, have really made this Chargers defense a hell of a lot better. I think Derwin James, in his rookie year, and I'll tell you what, I said it, and I predicted it. I said before the draft that Derwin James, within maybe 1 to 2 years, was going to become the best safety in the NFL. And I think when you look at Derwin James right now, you can start to make that conversation even in his rookie year. There is no safety I've seen that is a better box tackler than Derwin James. Not even Harrison Phillips, not even Earl Thomas, really not even Cam Chancellor. He is such a rangy tackler, and he can drop back in coverage and beat you in a variety of different ways. You can blitz him off the edge. What I said before, and I'll say it again, Derwin James was the best defensive player in this draft. And I think so far, he's definitely made a case and proved that, as because right now he's probably the defensive rookie of the year, but there are a lot of other good defensive rookies we've seen this season as well. Moving on to another game, which was very interesting. You had the Pats versus the Castoffs, because interesting thing I'll point out, the Patriots, you know where they've struggled this year? Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they have struggled against former Patriots, and today was no different. And talking about the examples I'm referring to, Bill Belichick had a big loss this year to Detroit. Their head coach is Matt Patricia, who was the Patriots' defensive coordinator for a lot of years. And they were pretty much dominated in that game. You look at the game today against Tennessee with Mike Vrabel as Tennessee's head coach, the former Super Bowl linebacker of New England. I think what both of these guys did is they had to think, we know Bill Belichick is smart. And might I add that these two guys are certainly smart. That is one thing that the Patriots have in their organization, is highly intelligent players and highly intelligent coaches, really more so than any franchise in the game consistently over the last several years. But I got to imagine what they're thinking is, what is Bill Belichick expecting us to do? Bill Belichick knows our tendencies, so he's probably game planning off of that. But whatever they did, they were really able to outmatch him. What worked well for Tennessee today, above anything else, was their pass rush. First of all, if you're a Titans fan, there's a lot of things to like here, because this is a team that is looking like they can turn it around. Number one, on defense, they got their pass rush going today. Jarrell Casey, again, dominant interior force. Rashawn Evans, the rookie linebacker from Alabama. I am going to want to continue to see more of him, because when he was on the field today, he was highly disruptive. Would like to see him be an every down linebacker pretty soon. Having Brian Arakpo in there, Harold Landry, they have some guys that can rush the passer, and they certainly did that today. Another big thing for Tennessee is their offense has been flat a lot of the year. I think a lot of their issues have stemmed from Marcus Mariota having a hand injury, not being able to play his best. But since he's overcome that hand injury, Marcus Mariota has looked like a completely different quarterback, throwing it with a lot more zip and velocity, reading the field better, using his legs. Today, I loved how they used Marcus Mariota, not only did he read the field very well, he had great accuracy and touch on all of his passes, but just, again, he was really able to pick apart defenses, and when he needed to, sit in the pocket and make a variety of different throws. So good stuff by them. The best player in this game was wide receiver Corey Davis for the Tennessee Titans. When you evaluate what was the biggest matchup in this game, it was really Stephon Gilmore, the Patriots' young cornerback, going against Corey Davis. Both of them up-and-coming players. Corey Davis, no doubt, got the better of him, absolutely dominated him. And, Corey Davis was selected 5th overall just a year ago in the draft, looking like he can really start to become a solid player in this league. He's definitely a guy that I liked because he had the route running and the speed. Just a matter of putting it all together. I think he's finally starting to do that with the Tennessee Titans right now. Finishing things off with Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys traveled to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles in a very crucial NFC East matchup. The reason why it was so crucial, both teams are in playoff contention, with really only the Giants being the only team in the NFC East that really doesn't have a chance of making the playoffs. But going back and looking at this game, what both teams did well. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz played one of his better games this year. He was able to distribute the ball. But again, I said with Jay Ajayi being injured, that could be one of the issues that they have. I think that right now, I still see them as being a team that can end up winning this division and taking over, especially with Washington's offensive line issues. But when you look at the Eagles, they really are a different team without having that star running back. When they got Jay Ajayi last year, I really believe that is what put him over the edge, and they really don't have anyone there that can replace his production. So a lot of it goes on Carson Wentz still. He played good football tonight, as did Dak Prescott. The main difference in this game, although it was a very close game, came down to the last play. But the biggest difference above anything else was Dallas has Ezekiel Elliott. Philadelphia really doesn't have anyone they can depend on as a reliable three-down back. Ezekiel Elliott tore him up. Zach Martin looked like he may have had a catastrophic knee injury early in the game, but came back, looked excellent. And on top of that, I thought Dallas's defense looked a little bit better with their best player, certainly being linebacker Leighton Vander Esch, rookie from Boise State, coming all over the field to make plays. He looked absolutely outstanding. And that wraps up everything for Week 10. Join me back on Monday for a shorter episode, and I don't know exactly what I'll cover yet. You'll be surprised tomorrow. All I can tell you is that it's going to be good stuff. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, signing off. Talk to you guys tomorrow.